So this book of Hebrews, we're starting two new books this week here, tonight and Sunday. Man, you guys are on a roll. I never thought we'd get through one book, much less all this. So this book, the Hebrews, one of the four books that are written directly to the Jews, Matthew, James, Peter, and certainly this, written directly to the Jews, to the minister to them in the place that they're in. And in this book, it really shows us that Jesus is not another form of revelation. He's God's final and ultimate revelation. He is the end result of he is the end of everything, the beginning and the end. He's revealing himself to the people. And in this place, we just see it more and more how he's fulfilled everything. This book of Hebrews, quoting the Old Testament scriptures much, 32 times, I believe, the Old Testament is quoted in this book. So certainly a lot of references that were Old Testament related just to prove the drawing through and the end result of it, the promises fulfilled and all of those things. But in this book, too, we have what one commentator has called the five D's. And you don't want to enter into any one of the five D's. Remember in school, you didn't want to get a D. You certainly didn't want to get an E, but you didn't want to get a D either because D's weren't good. If you got a D, you couldn't be in sports, at least where I was. That wasn't good. But the five D's, the first one is drifting, and we'll go through these again as we go through. So if you miss part of this, you'll catch up the next time. But we see that in chapter two, drifting. You don't want to drift. Doubting is the second one. That's in chapter three through chapter four. Becoming dull of hearing, chapter five into chapter six. Despising. God despising his word, that's found in chapter 10, and then defying God in chapter 12. And so as we enter into those, we'll certainly look at those and look at the result of all of those things and what happens when we go. And we know that those words don't even sound good to us, and they shouldn't sound good to us. But what we also see here, too, is and we always look for these things, words mentioned over and over throughout the books, words mentioned in passages and in chapters that we see mentioned often, we look at because we know they must be important if he mentions them more than once. But you're going to see the word better 13 times in this book. You're going to see the word perfect 14 times or more perfect. And you're going to see eternal or forever mentioned 9 times. So a lot of things going on in this book, a lot of information coming through, but a lot of things that are good for us. He says right in verse 1, as we just jump right in, he says, God, who at sundry times. And as you look at this, you realize he's starting out this book like he has in Genesis, like in the Gospel of John. God is mentioned first. God, speaking of the eternal God, Jehovah God, Elohim, the triune God, God who at sundry times, at different times and in diverse manners, in different manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, but he has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has anointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And certainly that contains enough to keep us going for a long time, but God is still speaking. God is still revealing himself. He's still showing us who he is. He's still showing us his glory. He's still showing us what he desires for us, that what he has for us, what he's done for us. And in all these things, we realize more and more that we need to pay attention. Because he says that he spoke in times past by his prophets, which is an amazing thing. He spoke unto the fathers, unto those patriarchs of the faith. He spoke to them by the prophets, but in these last days he's spoken unto us by his son. Remember when Jesus came, he talked about these being the last days. We're in the last days. It's taken a long time, but these last days are here. We don't know when we're going. There's not really a prophecy that needs to be fulfilled before we go home. We could be raptured at any time. We are certainly in the last days, and today we were closer to going home than we were yesterday. And we don't know when we're going, whether by natural means or by supernatural means. But either way, we know that we're going to be in the presence of the Lord because we know Him as Lord and Savior. And that's our hope. That's our prayer for each other. That's our encouragement for each other. Stand strong because the days are getting awful. We saw it today with the school shooting. Just another one, how awful that is. But the days are getting crazier. The days are getting harder to stand in. But take heart. Jesus is coming. And so just listen to Him. But He says in these last days He's spoken to us by His Son. We know it's Jesus. It's a capital S. It gives us a great hint. His Son is capitalized. He's the one and the only Son. He's the one and the only one. He's a preeminent one. It tells us this in the Gospel of John. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And look at what it says here in verse 2. "In these last days He's spoken unto us, by His Son, whom He's appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds." It tells us in Colossians that by Him all things consist. He holds all things together. It is the meaning of that. Jesus is the one that's put it all together. He holds it all together. And you can doubt that. You can run through it and just say, "I don't believe it." But the Bible says it. And I'd rather trust the Word than my own feelings, than my own doubts. And really, I think that's where we need to go in all of these times, is the doubts are going to always be there, but God's Word is stronger than our doubts. And we go, "Well, I haven't heard the Lord speak in a long time." When we walk in faith, God always speaks. Faith is the point, the presence of Him in our lives, our trust in who He is. And by that, it just brings hearing to us, brings supernatural hearing to us so that we can hear. Most of the time we hear Him by the Word of God. We hear Him speak through the Word. That's why it's important to be in your Word every day and to be listening, not just looking at it, because it's a living Word. Remember, we read it in the Gospel of John. He's the living Word, and He's the one that brings truth. He's speaking. He's still speaking. He hasn't stopped speaking. And He's going to minister to us in these words, through these scriptures, in these days. He's spoken in these last days by His Son. And you either believe it or you don't believe it, but you'd have to believe it by faith. And if you believe it by faith, then you have to believe also that He's still speaking and that He still wants to minister to your heart and my heart. And the reason we may not be hearing Him is because we may be in sin. We may be drifting or doubting or despising or walking in one of those things. But as we come back, as we return, as we repent, as we look to Him and just ask for His touch, He's always faithful to minister to us because He acknowledges faith. He walks in faith. He brings that faith to us so that we can have it, so that we can understand that He's real and true. You can read the Bible all you want, but until you come into that relationship with Jesus, the natural man cannot understand the things of the Lord. We can't understand it without the power of His Spirit, without faith being introduced and trusted in that place. That's why that relationship has to come first. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, and He's the living Word, so it comes by Him. Everything comes by Him for us and to us. And so we look and we realize that God has so much for us and that He wants to do so much in our lives. We see God the Father, His work being a preserving work, as we see all through the Old Testament, how He preserved Israel, how He kept Israel, how He walked and used Israel. We see Jesus' work more of a redemptive work. He's the one that comes to redeem us. He's the one that's come to seek and to save those that were lost. He's the one that's come to minister to hearts and to bring truth to lives. And now he sent his Holy Spirit, since Jesus is gone and resurrected from the dead. He sends his Spirit to bring us into all truth. And Jesus said in the Gospel of John in chapter 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one and only truth that we need to believe and that we need to trust. Everything else, we don't know what to believe anymore. We've heard so many lies all through our lives that we don't know what to believe, what not to believe. You know, especially during these last elections where all we heard was fake news. And both sides were saying everything's fake news. We don't know what to believe, but we know one thing to believe, and that's this. And so that's where we go. That's where you go for your news. That's where you go for your history. That's where you go for your English. That's where you go for your whatever is here. Everything is about him and everything is for him. And our lives are here because we're created to worship. We're created to be image bearers of who he is. But if we don't know him, we can't bear his image. We aren't going to bear his image. We're going to look like a mixture. We're going to look like a mutt. Instead of a purebred, we're going to be a mixture. And that never brings about good results. What we want is the truth, and what we want is the very best of the truth, to know it. And to know him is best in all our lives. Not knowing him is not the best thing for your life. We need to know him. In that word knowing, gnosko, in the Greek, is not just a word about knowing somebody. We know President Trump, but most of us, probably all of us, have never met him. We don't know how crazy he is at home in the kitchen. We don't know what crazy things he does at 4 in the morning. He does some crazy stuff. Last term, we knew he was up tweeting at 4 in the morning, but we don't know what he's doing now at 4 in the morning. But he could be really crazy. We don't know. But this word gnosko means, in this sense, to know him in an intimate, wonderful relationship in a way that's different than any other person we know. And it starts with him knowing us and then us knowing him. He knows all about us. He knows what we're speaking. He knows what we're thinking. He knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart, Scripture tells us. And so we trust him that even with him knowing all of that stuff about us and he still loves us, that we can trust him to follow after him no matter what. Be encouraged to follow after your Jesus today. He's spoken to us, and we want to listen to him. We want to have ears to hear. He's made himself known to us. He's brought us to that place of teaching us and wanting to speak to us. This whole book is such a wonderful book to read, such a wonderful book to dig into, and you will never know all of it. It's so interesting. So deep, and so sometimes the words mean so much more than what we see. And he reveals those things to us as we go, and we just see them more and more, and we get in different circumstances, and he brings a word to us, and it just speaks more volumes to us in that place that we're at than they ever did before, because we're in a different spot. And he knows when to bring those things about for us. But he has, in these last days, spoken to us, and he's still speaking. Don't doubt that Jesus is gone. He's done with the world. He's done with everything. He's not going to speak to us ever again. And he may not be speaking to our country because we're under judgment, but we may be in that place where we can still have ears to hear, where we can still be in that place where we can listen to what God wants to say. He's spoken unto us by his Son. Amazing. Verse 2 just blows everything apart. He's spoken unto us by a Son. He used to speak by the prophets. He used to minister to the prophets and then have them go speak. Now in these last days, he's spoken unto us by his Son. Does that mean the words of the prophets weren't any good? They were very good because they were still the words of God. He was still ministering. But he's spoken unto us, and then he appointed him heir of all things. Jesus is going to inherit all things. And as you look at that, you go, okay, well, that's good. And you go on. But you got to realize if we're in Christ, then everything he inherits, we inherit. And that is just amazing to me. Why should we inherit anything when we're just these dirty, rotten sinners that needed somebody to redeem us? and yet he appointed him heir of all things, and he made all the worlds. And we're in Christ, and he's in us. Can you imagine his thought processes, the way he thinks, the way he moves, the way he is? He made the worlds. He spoke it into existence with a word, and he's the living word. Just what can't he do? And yet we look at ourselves and we go, I can't do much of anything. But we're in him and he's in us, and he's revealing these things to us. This is just amazing. All this packed into one little verse, and you just look at it and you go, yeah, well, God's speaking, big deal. Yeah, so he made the worlds. When's the last time you tried to make a world? It's just crazy what he can do and what we can't, and who he is and what we're not. And yet he still wants to indwell us. He still wants to minister to us and speak to us. Aren't you thankful that you have a God that wants to speak to you? Oh, he says, who being the brightness of his glory, God is the bright, Jesus is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. He upholds all things, you know, like we said with Colossians, by him all things consist. He upholds all things. He holds all things together, notice, by a word. Not only did he create the world by a word, but he upholds everything by a word. He knows where to place the stars, where to place the planets. Just amazing. How long has this world been in existence? 6,000 years, we believe, young Earth. And yet nothing has run into it that's caused any major damage to knock us out of the way. And we go, how did that happen? We have one who's upholding everything by his power, by a word, speaking into those things, knowing every star by name, knowing every planet, knowing all the things that are going on, not only here on this earth, but in every planet that's around, all the galaxies. He knows every star by name. I can't even remember my grandkids' names. And he remembers every star. And there's billions and billions and billions. And he knows each one by name and what they're going to do and where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to be doing. He upholds all those things. And if he's upholding all of those things, is he also upholding us? Oh, isn't that wonderful? Sometimes we get so distraught and so discouraged by all this stuff and by all the things happening to us, the diseases and all of those things and the way the world is, that we don't think he's holding anything together, and yet he's holding everything together. If he wasn't holding it together, there would be absolute chaos. The whole world would be without form and void, as it tells us in Genesis, because the Lord spoke and put things into order. And it's such a beautiful order, and he's put you in an order for such a time as this. To be here, and he upholds you and keeps you. He forgives you for your sins, for the ways that we've been, even for the day that we've had, and he wants to minister to us in the midst. Thank you, Lord. He said he upholds all things by the word of his power. That's a lot of power. We look at the power of some of these rivers that go through. We look at the power of whales. We look at the power of some of these animals that we see. We look at the power of the sun. You look at all those things, and yet Jesus has all of those things in control by himself. Oh. And it says when he had by himself, and I love the way the Holy Spirit puts this in here, by himself, just to take away and to make sure nobody thinks that they had any part in it. He said, I did it by myself. Don't put yourself in there. I did it by himself. Purged our sins. Notice the writer includes himself in this matter. He says he purged our sins, mine and yours. He includes himself in the midst of it. By himself he purged our sins, and then sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Sitting down, there was no place, because remember, Jesus is our high priest. Remember, in the temple there are no chairs for the high priest to sit down, because his work was never finished. But our high priest has finished the work. Remember on the cross, one of his last sayings on the cross, one of the seven last sayings is, it is finished. And because of that, when he went to heaven, he sat down on the right hand of the Father, saying what? My work is finished. The work is finished as a high priest. My work is finished in the things of redeeming mankind. Mine is a redemptive work. I came to redeem mankind. I finished that work, and now I'm sitting down on the right hand of the Father. The next time we see Jesus arise is in the book of Acts, when Stephen is martyred. And it says that Jesus rose up to greet him. Oh, thank you, Lord. His work was finished, his redemptive work. And because of his redemptive work being done, then Stephen could meet him. Stephen could see him. And Stephen is there in heaven with him. Oh, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What a hope we have that we're going to be with the God of all glory, with the God of all power, the God of all might, the God of all the world. Oh, and we're going to see this go on. Oh, but he by himself purged our sins. And there's so many places we could go with that. But we need to keep going on, even though we don't want to. It says this in Psalm 103, verses 19 to 22. He says, "The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. So bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And we see that blessing come out as he's done it, but he said he's prepared his throne in heaven, and he rules over all. It's past tense, it's already been done, it's already been accomplished. So what do we do in light of that? Just as we do in every place, we worship. We stop and we worship. Because we can't give him anything. We can't make his world better. He's the one that makes it better. He makes us better. And so we worship him. He's prepared everything. He's done everything. So we just bless the Lord. We thank him and we worship. But it says in verse 20 there, "Bless ye the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments. They listen to the voice of his word." And if the angels listen to the voice of the Lord and do his bidding, how much more should we? Because those angels were the ones that chose to stay with the Lord. They didn't go after Satan. Up to one-third of the angels, Scripture tells us, went with Satan and followed him. They didn't listen to the Lord. And we see the difference between listening to him and not listening to him. I don't want to be a fallen angel. I don't want to be a fallen man. I want to be one who worships the Lord, who listens to him, and then does those things that he says, and able to then enter into worship. Oh. In verse 4, then it says, being made so much better than the angels. Still talking about Jesus, still talking about who he is. And there's the first time we see that word better. Remember, 13 times in this book we're going to see that. Being made not just better, but so much more better, so much more. He's better and better and better. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. That word obtained, it's past tense, it's already gotten. He's got a more excellent name than the angels. We don't worship the angels, we worship God above. Angels had a choice, just like you and I had a choice. They made their choice. They are now living in the consequences of their choice, some in heaven with Jesus, some roaming with Satan, the fallen angels, the demons of this world that have the spirit of Antichrist. But he has obtained a more excellent name than they. By who he is, by what he's done, he's obtained this more excellent name. And we have that privilege to know him, to have him come and visit us here in this fallen world, to come to speak to us. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to leave us a word. He didn't have to come and make promises to fallen man. But he did. What a privilege we have. We get to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of all creation. We get to know him not just for who he is, but his character, his nature. And the deeper we walk with our Lord, the more we get to know the depths of who he is, the depths of his character, the depths of his nature. And that is just such a privilege for you and I that we get to do that. This is his character. This is the attributes that he's come with. He's obtained a more excellent name. It's a higher name. It's a more precious name. It's a name that denotes wonderful things. It's a name that denotes character and integrity and faithfulness and holiness and truth. And we get to know that. We get to know the character of who he is. And so this first chapter really dealing with not just that he's better than the prophets. There's no more prophets now. They've gone. God doesn't speak through the prophets anymore. He has spoken to us through his Son. So we see that. Now he's going to talk about that Jesus was better than the angels. And it says he was so much better than the angels. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? Speaking from the Psalms, of course, Psalm chapter 2, the first Old Testament reference, and then we'll see the second part, and again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son, from 2 Samuel, as we start seeing the prophecies come to pass on who God is and what he's done. He said, you are singular in nature, singular in scripture. You are my son. This day have I begotten thee. Unto which of the angels did he ever say that? And of course, the rhetorical question, the answer is no, none. There was nobody. It was just Jesus. He didn't say it to any of his angels. He said it about his son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten of the world, or bringeth back the first begotten of the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And that's from Deuteronomy 32. When he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let the angels of God worship him. The angels were created to worship too. Oh, we're all in that same place. Different places, different attributes, different ways that we do it, but we worship. We're all made to worship, and we worship one. We don't worship many, we just worship one. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits? That's from Psalm 104. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? We're going to see that more as we go on through Hebrews, so we'll hold off on that a little bit, on what their duties were and what they were. But under the sun, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. But under the sun, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. His scepter, the rod, the baton, this staff that the kings would have, it's a scepter of righteousness, and it's a scepter of his kingdom. That scepter, remember in the book of Esther, when Esther was come from Mordecai, and Mordecai had sent her to go into the king, and she said, wait a second, you pray and fast 3 days for me before I go in to see the king, because I can't just go in and see the king. Guys, can't do that anymore. She could only come when she was called. To go in, if he held out his scepter to her and pointed it towards her, she could enter in without fear of death. If he didn't point it towards her, they would kill her, because she entered at a time when she wasn't even called. How dare you come in at a time when you're not called and you're not welcomed and you're not accepted? And you look at it and you realize how gracious our God is, because we should have never been able to come into his presence. But he's made a way for us. He's torn the veil in two so that we could come into the Holy of Holies at any time. He's held out the scepter. He's a scepter of righteousness, and we can come in at any time. We don't have to fear for our lives. We don't have to pray and fast before we go in to see our spouse. We can go in at any time. That's how willing he is to meet with us. That's how much He wants to meet with us. Oh, and aren't you glad as you cry out in those times when things are awful and you need him so much, and at the times when things are so wonderful and you just praise him. Isn't it wonderful that he hears all of those cries? And he always has that scepter of righteousness pointed towards us so that we could enter in and come in at any time and be before him. Oh, we serve a loving God, not a God of the old where the law would just be so harsh and hard at times, but the spirit of the law always brings grace and peace. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. That's eternal. This eternal God that we serve, and we have eternity to serve with him. Now that we're born again, we've entered into our eternity. Our eternity doesn't start when we get to heaven, when we die and leave this body and go to him. Our eternity started the day we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's the day our eternity started. Before that, we had an eternity waiting, but it was the wrong one. We were going to hell in a handbasket, and we were going quick. And he changed our direction. He changed our lives. He changed our hearts. He changed our minds. He changed everything about us and everything for us. And we're going to have that privilege of meeting him face to face, seeing him and knowing him. But we get to know him even now. We get to hear him speak. We get to hear him teach. We get to hear him minister to us through his living word. Oh, what a privilege you and I have. And the world thinks this book is just a book of baloney. They don't realize the privilege that they see, that they look at, and they disdain. But you and I get to hold this. Can you imagine? We aren't holy enough to hold this book. And yet he allows us to, because we hold it by faith. We hold it in love. We hold it in worship of who he is. He says, but unto the Son, he saith, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness. As we start seeing his character, his nature, who he is, what he looks like, these are some of the attributes. These are some of the things that we see in Psalm 45, verses 6 and 7. It says this, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is the right scepter. There's where it comes from. You lovest righteousness and you hated wickedness. You hate and continue to hate wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. The oil of gladness. That's where we get it from. And as you look at that, you just realize God has anointed him with the oil of gladness. Remember when the kings were anointed, when Samuel would come and anoint King David, he would pour the oil on his head and anoint him. And it was anointing to show his kingship. It was an anointing to show the blessing of God upon his life. And yet here's Jesus. He says, you loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even your God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, above all the angels, above all the peoples, above everything else. He has anointed him to be God in this world. And we get to know him. We have that privilege. We have that honor. We have that opportunity to do that. And he says in verse 10, and you, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. In the beginning, you, Lord, in the beginning. Look at what he says here. He calls him Lord. Does that mean he's equal with Satan? No, he never called him Lord, as some of the religions believe. Only Jesus, only one man, only by him can we come. You, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation. So Jesus was there in the beginning. Did he come into being just when God made him in this world and born of a virgin? No, he was there in eternity. It tells us in Revelation that before the world was even began, that the Lord had determined in his heart that he was going to die for the salvation of the world. He was there in the beginning of this part, eternity doesn't have a beginning. but this world has a beginning, and it's going to have an ending. Oh, you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They shall perish, but you're going to remain. This world is going to perish. This world is going to go away. But God is always going to be there. And he's the same today as he was yesterday, and he's going to be in the future. He's the same. He's going to remain for eternity. We get to count on that. And look at what the world is doing. They're buying into the lie that they're going to be here forever. We're going to discover that fountain of youth. We're going to discover that cream that'll make us look 20 when we're 150. There's not enough cream to make us look that good. We got to be re-sculpted for something like that. Everything is going to perish, but you're going to remain. What are you holding on to that's going to remain forever? There's only one thing that we can hold on to that's going to remain forever, and that's our love relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything else is going to slip through our fingers and go. And I'm so thankful. We don't have to hang on to anything anymore, that we can be free of all of those things and just let them go. And sometimes those things hurt. Sometimes those things are a bother. But you look at the end result, and you look at the end of this. We look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we trust him. They are all going to wax old, as does a garment. Yeah, we kind of got old garments that we're in, and they're getting older. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But you are the same, and your years shall not fail. Your years are never going to come to an end. Oh, and we get to be with him, and we get to stand in that place with him and worship him and throw our crowns at his feet and thank him forever. And it's going to take us that long just to thank him for everything that he's done as we're in heaven. We may not think of it now, of all those ways that we can thank him, but once we're in heaven, oh, there's going to be thankfulness forever. Oh, and we get to stand together. We get to stand side by side, worshiping the same Jesus, worshiping the same God, and loving him together. That's going to be sweet. It's sweet when we're here worshiping, when Mary and Kevin and Kath were up worshiping, and just, you know, the group together, you know, was it Derek and the Dominoes or whoever it was? But side by side, worshiping together, the same words, the same song, and just hearing everybody sing, because it isn't worship of what they were doing, it's worship of our God that it was about. And worship doesn't have to be song. Worship can be acts of things that we do. They can be thoughts. They can be words. Worship is a lot of things. But if it's done in his name, it's worship. And we just thank him that we get to start taking part of that even now while we're here in this world, that worship starts. Because one day all of this is going to be folded up. Can you imagine the vastness of this all? And God says, I'm just going to fold it up like a piece of cloth. That is amazing to me. We got billions of stars. We got galaxies we still haven't even seen. And he says, I'm just going to start folding it up. We took our pool down the other day, and I just started folding things up. And just reading this, you know, just folding things up. You know, this thing that used to hold, you know, 13,000 gallons of water. All of a sudden, all the water's gone, and you just start folding it up. And it's just, that's what he's going to do with the world. He's just going to fold it up like it was nothing, and it's going to be gone. But he's going to remain. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the promises, for the truth of who you are. But then the writer goes on and he says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit at my right hand? He didn't say that to any of them. To any of the angels. He only said it to one. It was to Jesus. Sit thou at my right hand. Only to Jesus. Jesus, therefore, in that place, is in the place of prominence. Because remember, in Scripture, the right hand is always the place of prominence. It's where the sheep are. The goats are on the left. You don't want to be a goat. You want to be a sheep. You want to be in the right hand of God, the right hand of favor. And to which of the angels did he say at any time, sit on my right hand? None. He said it to his son, the place of prominence, the place of lordship. He says, you sit here. You sit here because you're the only one worthy of all that honor and glory and power. To which of the angels did he say at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not just all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? That's you and I. The angels were sent to minister to us. These angels that we can't understand, that we can only dream about, that we can only think about, and yet there's how many religions in the world are based on angel worship? They worship Gabriel. They worship Michael. They worship Harry. They worship all these angels that are there, and they're worshiping all the angels and not even worshiping the God who is over them. Oh, so strange. We'll worship anything but God, won't we? Even in the church. And we need to be careful of what we're worshiping. Lord, there's only one that I need to worship, and that's you. There's only one that I need to adore, and that's you. Are they not just ministering spirits, and they're sent forth to minister? That's a great thing. That is not something that we need to disdain, to just blow it off. They've been sent forth to minister to us by God. God thought them worthy enough to have words to come and to minister to us, to be ministering angels to us. They're wonderful, created beings, but they're not God. Only God is eternal. But we don't take away what they were, what they have. They have that relationship with the Lord. They have that place where they're sent forth by him to do something for him. He wants to include us in that ministering also, as he includes every part of his creation to minister to different people, to different places. We're all here to minister, but we're all ministered to. And we're so thankful God has done that. The listening, the hearing, God still wants to speak. I know he wants to speak through his word. I know he wants to speak truth to us. And as we see those truths, we realize he's better than man. He's better than angels. He's better than the prophets, even though the prophets were good and there was nothing wrong with them, but we don't worship them. But isn't it amazing? It just amazes me that God, because remember, he spoke in the beginning and then he spoke through the prophets, and yet we wouldn't listen. And then Jesus comes, and that's the speaking that he has for us, and yet we still won't listen sometimes. The God of all creation, the God who's going to fold everything up at the end, and we won't listen to him. Well, then who are you going to listen to? Oh, I need to listen to somebody. Lord, help me to listen to you. So, Father, as we just start this book, Lord, we're just so excited about who you are. We see so many wonderful things. You made angels. They're wonderful. You created them as ministering spirits to minister to those who are going to come to salvation. We don't know all in the ways that they minister to us, but Lord, we know your word says they minister to us, and we trust your word. We don't know how that is, but we know they're there, they're working, because you've sent them. And Father, we want to be sent by you too, to minister to those around us. So Lord, give us those hearts that we would represent you well, in the name of Jesus, for who you are and all that you are. And we're just thankful, Father, that we have this privilege of knowing you, of serving you, of walking with you, of hearing you speak, of knowing your word. What a privilege we have and we hold, Lord, and we're just so thankful. And we just ask, Lord, that you give us ears to hear. And Father, if we're become dull of hearing, Father, then please quicken our ears. Quicken our spirits, bring us to a place where we would ask for forgiveness, because all of those D words, the drifting, the doubting, the despising, they're all things that we need to repent of and turn from. So, Father, if we are doubting things, forgive us, Lord. Help us to see truth, help us to hear truth, because we know that your love to us is really pushed forward to us by faith, by us believing who you are, believing your word, believing your truths, and walking in those truths, Lord. And we know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your living word. And so help us to know this word alive and believe it, that it is alive even for us, even for today. So as you speak, Lord, give us hearing ears. We love you, we thank you, and we ask for your leading, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.